Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Maybe I'm crazy, but there can be crying in football.
In the locker room only.
No, on the field.
And in the showers.
What? We're gonna move on.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm not.
Welcome to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. I'm Joy Taylor, that's Brandon Newman.
Hola.
In a very loud windbreaker thing.
You like my swishy jackets.
It's a swishy jacket?
Yeah, swishy jackets.
You know what I miss?
LA hoodies. What's up?
Breakaways.
Breakaway. Yeah, you ain't gotta miss nothing. Just go get some.
Get some?
Yeah, go get some breakaways.
Is that acceptable wearing attire?
I feel like reasons to wear breakaway stuff has deplenished as you get older. Like,
well, because I don't play. Yes. I don't play. I don't know what deplenish is either.
Is that not the right term? Nah. That's not the right term. Oxford. Let me look up a synonym for deplenish.
We'll roll with it. I understood what you meant. I think diminish is the word you were looking for.
Diminish.
Just to be clear. No, I mean, I don't play sports anymore. So why would I wear breakaways? Why? I don't have any need to remove my pants quickly.
We should break away into our podcast attire. Like, come wearing suits.
Oh, breakaway suits. Breakaway suits is fine.
Breakaway suits, we should definitely.
Because normally I wear suits every day, so that would work. what would you like to add, Heller, before we
actually
get started?
I was thinking, Joy, imagine just showing up to yoga, and it's like the class about to start, and then you just...
Yoga is a good place for that. Yoga is a good place for that. That's actually a really good suggestion. You're trying to be funny, but it's actually a good suggestion, because after hot yoga, putting the sweatpants back on is very uncomfortable experience.
And that would be easier to put back on.
Yes.
Y'all know how to spell synonym?
And you'd make a hell of an entrance.
People that make noise inside the yoga studio, I'm trying not to be dramatic here. They just should not be allowed in the studio. I want to say something way more violent, but it's not nice. But don't talk in the yoga studio. It's very annoying. It's been happening several times now.
Don't talk I'm going in the into yoga
my I'm in full Larry David mode right now. Okay.
Who's
don't
talking
talk in,
during
don't
yoga?
Talk in the yoga studio. It's people. They come in the studio and they're like friends, right? And then they sit like when me and Earl go to yoga, we don't even put our mats next to each other. He's over there, I'm right here, it's fine.
What are y'all talking about?
They talk in the studio.
It's like a yoga behavior.
Yes, there's etiquette to everything in life. And in yoga, it's quiet. All right, you go inside. I need my moment of meditation, okay? My silence. And you're in here yapping about who knows what.
When does that start, though? When is the class?
The second you enter the studio, it's silent time.
As soon as the lights are dimmed.
I can accept like a water bottle being knocked over or something, even though it's very obnoxious.
What? That's the worst.
You put the mic down.
You better be here for this yoga etiquette too. All right. You might learn something.
Put the mic down. So here's the thing about this. I think of it like a classroom. Like in the classroom, put the mic down. You walk into a classroom and then you're like, at some point in time, the teacher's like, okay, everyone, settle down. Now class starts.
No. Ariana, you do yoga, right? Yeah. You agree with me.
So you're saying you can't talk while you're getting ready before the yoga starts?
Like when you enter the studio.
Class starts, you can't talk.
No.
That's insane.
You can't talk. Turn into mute people. It's the silent time.
Yoga elitist.
Quiet.
Yoga elitist.
You know what? It's been brewing for a long time now that I'm going to fight someone in yoga. And so it may happen. I'm telling you, because I really resist. Like I'm a confrontational person, but yes. I resist saying things to strangers because not that I'm afraid of how they're going to respond, but they may say something that will cause me to lose my mind.
Right.
And that's a liability.
Michelle went to me in Louisville this weekend, and she realized she's like, oh yeah, like I think people from Louisville are generally nicer because they know that it can lead to a fight.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, you know what I mean?
Fights
like,
are just, on the table.
Fighting is available.
We're going to talk a lot about fighting today.
Right.
And that's the thing. So I choose not to confront someone in yoga because maybe they're going to say something crazy back to me and then it's a wrap.
But you have to.
Because then I go dark
outside,
and I don't remember.
But outside of yoga, because if you can't talk in yoga school, you definitely can't get mad.
No, there's no getting mad. And there's I was this close. I was this close to saying something in yoga the other day, and I was like, yeah, this is not the time. It's not the appropriate time.
Isn't the point of yoga to like clue everyone out, like Zen,
and yeah, but I can't
not
do
think
that
about
if you're yapping.
No, but that's the whole point of yoga.
You like, can't do that if there's
channel
talking.
Yourself.
There's yeah. no talking.
No, you challenge. They challenge you to Zen yourself. Those people are plants, and you're failing in yoga.
The splashing of the sweat. Anyway, okay. So Chris Ainge joins us today. We talk a lot about the NBA because the NBA is just it's just content heaven always. So there's lots of that, and we have you know some fights on the football field that are the you know involve the culture which we have to discuss.
I have to
and lots of other stuff. Fights and rap game fights. Pusha T, Drake, Kanye, all that still. And as I mentioned earlier, there's some crying that may or may not. Crygate 2018.
Crygate.
Let's get to Chris Haynes. All right, Chris Haynes is joining us. We're very excited to have you here. We've been talking about having you on the podcast for a while now, so we're excited to have you. And there's just so much to talk about because the NBA is back and there's drama right away.
Love it.
Which we knew. So we weren't expecting this kind of drama, but...
Thankful for it.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're always thankful for the content. Yes. We're in the content business. Dial it up. So, you were at the Lakers game last night.
Correct.
Where LeBron decided to do what he usually does, which is miss free throws
in
the clutch.
That's how we set it up. That's how we set it up. You see what that
is? My chair. If you can't see it. From Joy's tape, my chair literally went down.
You was up with me.
Man.
Like my heart did when he missed those free throws.
Okay.
I'm just going to stay here for now.
Oh, man.
I'll see y'all later.
Okay,
okay,
so.
Go ahead.
I mean, is that what we're going to say, or are we going to try and reset the chair?
I'm coming up to ask the LeBron question. Okay. I got it.
Oh my God! All right. Anyway, he does miss free throws in the clutch, though.
Yes, I think it's safe to say I don't see LeBron doing this podcast in the near future.
Oh, While we're on that topic, LeBron should definitely do this podcast because for 4 years, while I was enjoying the LeBron reign in Miami, I was also vehemently defending LeBron against all naysayers all across the world.
When did it stop?
Yeah, exactly. It stopped
when
yesterday.
When he went back to Cleveland.
Okay.
We went back home? Because he went back home?
What did I look like? I'm from Pittsburgh.
Because he went back home?
Oh, please with this go back home stuff. Okay. Where are you originally from?
Fresno, California.
Okay, so I understand you spent some time in Cleveland.
Yes,
okay.
A couple years.
I'm sorry about that. Lo siento.
Well, yeah.
But
you're
not there anymore, so we can keep it real. Uh-huh. All right. And that was not about going home. Like it was a nice PR spin. They had a very nice article and the very nice picture. And I get it. And there was a song that went along with it. It was perfect. I mean, Olivia Pope would be proud. Okay?
Oh, my God.
But let's not pretend like that wasn't about having control over the organization that Pat Riley was not about to give him.
Enlighten us, Joy. What was it about?
I mean, I just did. I mean, what's your opinion about it? That's my opinion, based off of some facts I may or may not have. But what's your opinion about it?
Man, we going back here. Okay, so my opinion at the time, I actually went to go cover LeBron when he went back to Cleveland.
Right.
He wanted to go home and win the championship. It was a his career.
He missed the weather.
No, that's not it. His career would not have properly been defined accurately if he didn't go back and win one for the hometown team.
Amen.
Now that he did so, that allowed him to come to LA with no backlash.
No, everything happens for a reason. I'm with you there, and that is also true. Everything that you said is true. All I'm saying is, and this was not even where we were supposed to go with this, but it's fine. All I'm saying is, had they won that championship,
in Miami last year,
you really think he would have left and went back?
100%. I do. I think it would have been easier then to leave after that time.
He's going to walk away from an opportunity to win another championship?
No, he's giving you facts right now. He would have gone back home. He had to win one in Cleveland. His biggest thing was winning one in Cleveland. He went back, did that against the best team in NBA history until they lost. Until they lost, right?
Historic.
He was always going to go back home and be a hero to Cleveland before he was a hero anywhere else.
Okay. All right. We agree or disagree. So
Free throws.
Yeah. I'm very excited he's in LA, to be clear. Like, I'm off the petty stuff.
Too.
Like, I'm very happy he's in LA. It's great for everyone except for Cleveland, which makes me even happier that he's here in LA. So everyone's freaking out because they lost last night. I'm not really panicking at all. And I actually think, I don't believe in moral victories, so we're not going to do that. But we went over that last week. Mm-hmm. Maybe like 1%. Because Lonzo's hitting shots. Josh Hart looks great.
Yes.
And aside from the brawl, which we'll get to in a second, I don't feel bad about the direction that they're going in.
No, I think that I don't have a problem with what you just said in any of that. Lonzo, the jury's still out on him for me. I'm not sold yet. I'm not sold. But Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, those guys are legit. But I will say this. LeBron James, throughout his tenure as an NBA professional, has had problems at the free throw line, period. I trust LeBron a lot more so in the clutch when the game is actually going on, live play,
right, rather than
at the charity stripe.
Right.
So was there a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction? Maybe, but I will tell you this. Since I've been here in L.A. these last 3 weeks or however long it's been, I have noticed, like, LeBron hasn't won over everybody. Like, those Kobe sayings are for real. Mm-hmm. Like, those people taking, you know, painting over the murals of LeBron, like, this, it's real.
That's real life.
Like, yeah. I think LeBron, it caught LeBron by surprise a little bit, too, because they were asking him some questions early on in the practice sessions, and he was like, hold on, I get the sense y'all don't know too much about me. And I think LeBron felt like everything that he did in Miami, the way he came back in historic fashion to beat the Warriors when he was with Cleveland, I think he felt like everybody had the pulse of what he was doing. That's not the case. Here in L.A., you came over here, that's great. But now, what you're going to do for us moving forward?
Yeah.
And so, it's going to be tough. I think initially he might have thought he can get away with coming here and not delivering a championship. That's not going to be the case. Mm-mm. If he doesn't come over here and deliver one.
I mean, the way we're scrutinizing these first three games,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, like,
that had to be expected, though. Like, I don't think that overall anyone actually expects them to win a championship this year, so those expectations are not there.
Right.
But they do expect them to perform.
Like, At least to finish the game.
It's LeBron.
How are they not performing? I know you're all about the wins and losses, but LeBron is literally walking these young guys through situations that they're going to need to be professionals at to win playoff games later on.
Yeah, I agree, but LeBron got to hit those free throws.
Yeah.
LeBron has to hit those free throws. I know Luke Walton and LeBron, they were very pissed about the lack of free throw opportunities they had compared to the opposition over the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
you can't whine about that. Like, sometimes you get calls, sometimes you don't.
You don't. And but you know, we can talk about free throw opportunities, but he had two.
Right, and make them.
He had the game winner too. Yeah. That he obviously get into overtime. That was a huge moment.
But now
we're at the point where we're used to seeing that, and obviously he is as well. Missing that game winning shot too. When you talking about him as a baller, right, away from the cherry stripe, that was when I was expecting him to just shut everybody up. And then, you know, we can take these losses earlier on, though.
But that's what I'm telling you. Just check out the massive amount of scrutiny he's getting for the third game. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he doesn't get a championship here in L.A., look, this year is an evaluation period. We get that. We understand that. But he got three more years after this.
No. This is Miami. This is Miami 2.0. The only difference is when he came to Miami, all of Miami was like, hell yeah.
I agree with you.
We got you. And in LA, it's not the case. Now, I personally don't understand it because I don't know what the the Lakers have done in the past couple of years that makes them feel entitled to do that.
It's the history.
Yeah, LeBron, as great as LeBron is and as big as LeBron is, he still is not bigger than the Lakers. And Lakers fans are reminding him that.
And that is the difference. That's the difference between Miami and Cleveland when he was with an organization like the Heat, who's my team, but still, I can keep it real. The Lakers are a bigger organization than the Heat and, of course, bigger than the Cavaliers. Mm. So the pressure and scrutiny is going to be more. Like, and this is LA.
This is crazy.
Every game is going to be like this. Every single game. What did you say on the herd? People are going to start freaking out if they lose against the Suns. They're going to freak out. Think of how we're talking about it after three games. Four games they lose the Suns, people are going to lose their minds. Trade everybody is going to be absolute mayhem.
Check this out. So I was talking with, Colin outside the show. And now LeBron's over on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Before, when you had these big primetime TV games, you open it up with Cleveland over there.
Right.
And then you follow it up with a Golden State game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now that you got LeBron over here going the same time as Golden State, who does the networks choose to show? Is it LA or Golden State? I will say, it's LA Lakers, that is, regardless of if they're successful or not. Because if the Lakers are winning, it's great. If the Lakers are losing, it's great too, because LeBron James provides drama.
Yeah. Mm.
It provides so much drama and so much electricity, whatever. It provides.
And I think there's a little bit of Golden State fatigue, too.
That's a good point. God. That's a good
so
point as well.
People may just prefer to see the Lakers as opposed to having to watch put another game the Warriors on TV every late West Coast game.
Outside of Christmas Day for Golden State. Honestly.
I mean, I can read
the stat score. I've seen these people play the exact same way. When Boogie Cousins starts playing, then show me what the Warriors look like.
I kind of agree with you. Right? I can't really argue with that. Okay. So the brawl obviously was a huge deal. Were you at the game?
I was not. I chose to go home because I got LeBron fatigue because I was in Portland.
Oh, okay.
For that game.
Well, okay.
I chose to go.
But you heard there was a little fight.
Yeah, it hurt.
Yeah. Okay. So my whole opinion about the fight is it is what it is. But there's like some underlying elements to why this happened. Like, I don't think that this was just a spur of the moment thing with Rondo and Chris Paul. Do you know anything about that?
Well, look, so, no, there's always been bad blood between those two for a long time. And, look, I want to shed some light on what I feel started this whole thing. And we're talking about Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo. But, look, the league, when I talk about the league, I'm talking about players and coaches and some executives are getting highly frustrated with the way James Harden is being officiated.
Hmm.
Brandon Ingram, look at that play that sent the whole thing up by storm.
Right.
James Harden initiating the contact, bump Ingram. Ingram gets called for the foul, so he's pissed at that. Then he's pissed at the fact that he almost get tapped all the way into the front row of the stands. And so James Harden happens to come up, you know, walk by him, and he pushes him, which is out of character for Brandon Ingram.
Right.
And so that's what started the whole thing. But what's going on is I've talked to multiple players. Is players are getting irritated with the fact that James Harden is already a great player, but he's also getting allowed to take two more steps after the two steps that's allowed, and he's hooking people, and he's initiating contact, and nothing's going on. Something similar like the NFL, where they're protecting the quarterback.
Right.
Allowing the quarterback. Right now, they're protecting the offensive player. Draymond Green said something like this last night, where there's more emphasis on allowing these offensive players to just do more. And so, I know that probably didn't have a lot to do with Rondo and Chris Paul throwing at each other, but that's what started the whole
thing. Yeah, that was the genesis of the
fight. That was it.
So what is the NBA headed to whoever gets officiated less wins the MVP that year?
Well, the NBA wants more scoring. They want more offense. If you look at, what is it, the average team is scoring 112 points or something? 113. So they're like, they want more scoring. It's the same thing that's happening in the NFL.
That's
the
reason why they changed the rule to offense rebounds. The shot clock doesn't go back to 24, it goes back to 14. So they want you to keep.
Yeah, they want to pick up pace of play.
Right.
So another team that is not doing the winning is OKC. Now, obviously, Westbrook, he had his knee scoped or whatever, so he had some things going on. I happen to be a big supporter of Westbrook because I find him entertaining. Mm-hmm. Now, he hasn't done the winning quite yet, which I'm going to need him to do, but I don't know if that's going to happen this year. So,
You said it, not me.
Yeah. I mean, so what's your opinion of the Thunder this year?
Me?
Yes, you.
The Thunder. Yes, I'm the Thunder.
Look, man. This West really, to me, it's a two-team race. It's Golden State in the West, Golden State and Houston. And I'm a little bit down on Houston because I think they allow some players to go that I felt like were excellent for that core. But with that being said, Westbrook, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to say this.
You got the word now. Drop the beat out. You got to listen.
So, there are certain players who don't like playing with ball dominant guys. LeBron James at times can be a player that people don't like playing with because he holds the ball a lot. Chris Paul is like that. Westbrook is like that. Mm-hmm. Guys who hold the ball for 18 of the 24 seconds and making sure that their passes lead to direct assists.
Right.
And not giving it to somebody else to get a hockey assist. So that gets irritating. But at the same time, Westbrook is a phenomenal player. To me, he's a top six player in this league. But he has yet to prove that he's a winner. Or he has yet to prove that he knows how to make winning plays. And until he grasps that, they will continue to be exciting. He will continue to be exciting, but his team will still, you know, still be irrelevant when it comes to contending teams.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair. I find Russell Westbrook to be.
I held back.
You held back. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to. You really don't.
He lost to the Utah Jazz last year in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Like, that was the MVP. Yeah. The previous, that is insane.
He also averaged a triple-double, so he deserved to be the MVP.
I'm trying to make sure my brother stayed. He's a big Westbrook fan. I'm trying to make sure he stayed, but I don't want to bomb rush you from the back.
I mean, it's the same thing. When we saw them play pickup game, when we saw them...
Yeah, at UCLA.
Play pickup, we saw the same inconsistencies in the games, in the pickup game as well. Huh. Westbrook spent a lot of time on the floor after finishing shots. Did he not? When we watched play pickup, we saw Harden... It's the same game. It's the same game, and I don't think Westbrook is in a position to ever win a bit. Like,
in order for him to win,
it's too important for him to score.
He has to. I mean, I think like he has a piece now in Paul George. Obviously, they have pieces around him. I feel like he needs to be more of a facilitator than he is a scorer, and I just don't know if that's part of his game. All right, so the East. I'm a little nervous about Toronto. So I picked Boston to go to the finals. But I mean, I feel like everyone forgot Kawhi Leonard's really f***ing good at basketball.
I forgot.
I forgot.
No, I mean, look, man. Look, I don't want to overreact. It's only, 3 or 4 games in. Toronto looks good. Kawhi looks good. I was always kind of hesitant to go out there and just truly embrace Kawhi because I felt like, look, a lot of players in San Antonio, when you play in that system, the game is modified. You don't have to do too much. Like, there's not a lot of pick and roll opportunities outside of the point guard position that other guys get to do. Kawhi didn't have to do much over there. So in Toronto, his game is expanded, and I was wondering, like, okay, is he a system player or can he go out there and do that against anybody? Yeah, he's proven he can do that against anybody, any system. So if health... Look, I'm still going Boston. I'm still staying in Boston, even though they start. They're bleeding 2-2 right now. Mm-hmm. Toronto's looking scary, man. And if they continue to, if they go into this season, go into the postseason as a number one seed, boy, they have a good shot. They're going to do all they can to keep him.
Kawhi is the best player in the East. He's the best player in the East.
Yes, I can.
Joel, let's think about that real quick. You got Kyrie out there. You got
Kyrie's very good.
You might be right.
I am right.
Greek.
Oh, Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
He's very good. Kawhi is the best player in the East. Ooh. At me, bro. He's the best player in the East. Who's better? There are guys who are close. But Kawhi Leonard is better.
So if you're starting to...
brain is frozen right now trying to process it.
That guy right there. So if you're starting a team today and you had to pick between Kawhi and Giannis,
I'm taking Kawhi.
No, I'm taking Giannis.
I'm taking Kawhi, for sure.
I'm taking Giannis.
100%.
I'm taking Kawhi only because I can't wrap my mind around why Giannis is so good, so I don't know how to build around.
I like Kawhi.
It seems like you can build around Kawhi because you know what he brings to the table.
But Kawhi is the best player in the East, and that's no disrespect to anyone who plays in the East. He's just the best.
I'll give you that.
And I think what's happening with Toronto, and I'm certainly guilty of this, is I've never trusted Toronto because they're great regular season basketball. Congratulations on your regular season award. And then let's get to the playoffs and make something happen. And it's always the same thing.
LeBron was there.
Right. But LeBron wasn't there with Kawhi. I don't know if it would have gone the same way.
Well, Toronto's best players at the time were a mixture of Kyle Lowry on some nights and DeMar DeRozan on other nights.
Right.
And them combined couldn't even beat LeBron.
That's what I'm saying. It's a different situation now.
It's different now.
I don't want to get caught into that same trap of, like, I've been saying for years that the Raptors are just no good in playoffs because they're not the same team anymore.
They're not, but...
And I'm not reacting to 3 games either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's keep in mind. It's 3
that
games.
Kawhi
set out,
plays for the Raptors now.
And he set out, but going back to, Giannis and Kawhi, we have to be aware of Kawhi's injury history as well. Let's see if he's going to withstand the test of time.
Okay.
We got some time to say it, but I like it. I don't disagree with you, Joel.
I'm talking about playoff Kawhi.
No, but...
Because Kawhi looks good now. They'll rest him throughout the season. I don't know. All I'm saying is I have faith in Kawhi. What's up with Melo? What are your thoughts on Melo so far?
I didn't like the move from the get go. Like I just didn't like the move.
You want to stay with the Hawks?
How long was he there? He
about 5 minutes. Man, I don't know. He's I don't know if he went. I didn't know he went. Passed by, went through Atlanta real quick.
I had a lunch, had a hot lunch.
Right.
You know, I love Carmelo as a person, man, but I really don't like many of the moves Houston made this offseason. Michael Carter Williams, what does he do for that? Carmelo, was it? Who else? Jeff Ennis. You know, they got way, you know, Trevor Ariza let him go. Mute let him go. Those were big 3D players.
I mean, they were a Chris Paul injury away from probably beating the Warriors.
They were. They would have beat the Warriors.
On paper.
On paper, yes.
They would have beat the Warriors.
Yeah, no. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
on paper, they would have. But okay. I just don't. If Carmelo, it looked like he's trying to embrace the six-man role, I'm a wait and see.
Okay.
I'm a wait and see.
You gotta answer this one. Because you said the West is a one-team race. You said two, but it's a one-team race, right? So where does LeBron end up in his first year with the Lakers? Like, what's the finish line?
You asked me this before the season. I said, I believe, fifth or sixth.
Okay.
Right now.
You've seen some stuff?
Man. Right now, I'm going to go seventh or eighth seed.
What?
Right now.
From what? From these three games?
From these three games? Let me tell you.
I think they solidified themselves.
As what?
As competitive enough in the West.
How can you solidify yourself without winning the game yet?
Because LeBron James. He's a GM. He's playing chess match. He's trying to see where people are going to go.
And he's the lone reason why I even say they're going to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
He's the lone reason. But let me tell you something right now. I'm not sold on nobody outside of Kuzma, Josh Hart, Ingram a little bit. That's about it.
Okay, so here's a question. Why is Lance Stephenson playing so much?
Well, he's actually balling.
But he's playing so much.
Who else going to play aside from him?
I mean, I feel like if you're going to be losing games, this is the time of the year where you should be messing with the lineup a little bit. Like, why is Beasley not getting in there for a few minutes?
You don't think Lance Stephenson playing so much is messing with the lineup real quick?
I mean, that's kind of, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. LeBron is literally doing his dubs right now, and we're trying to analyze his chess moves. We don't even know what he's doing.
We know you need shooters. Like, isn't that what you brought Beasley there for? I mean, I'm not just campaigning just for Beasley, but I just feel like Lance Stephenson's getting a lot of minutes.
We still haven't seen Mud play together, have we? The Mud lineup.
You know, really, if we're being brutally honest.
That's what we are doing.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk to us.
On that roster, there's only six players, probably about six, that should play anyway. Period.
Six?
Only about six.
In the NBA or with LeBron?
No, on that Lakers squad.
Okay.
And right now, what I've seen after three games, it should be a six-man rotation. And on some nights, don't even bring the bench in. Just start the five. But I tell you right now, and I love KCP, Kontavious Caldwell-Pope.
Do you?
But it's time to bring that boy Josh Hart up in that start lineup.
No, I agree with that.
It's time.
He's earned it.
Yeah, it's time. Yeah. After what I've seen enough. Mm-hmm. Three games is enough. Yeah. That boy's a baller. He's legit. Put him in there. Let's see what. But Joy, you take Lance out. Who else you putting in?
I just feel like you need to. I'm not saying take Lance out. I'm just saying mess with the lineup a little bit more. Like I feel like Lance is getting. He's not playing badly.
Roster is messed with. The roster construction is messed with. We all knew this. That's why most people laugh when they seen all these JaVale, Lance getting together and Beasley. We all laugh. We know it's a messed with roster. It's being messed with right now.
The entire NBA, including the Lakers, are auditioning.
Yeah, no, we got back.
I'm not
got
back there. It was just the lean, the weight thing.
I feel like we brought in like the little kids chair. Yeah. Like, you know how the daycares have like the baby toilets? We brought like the little kids chair.
Listen, I'm a little low. This is mini me right now. Listen, the Lakers right now are auditioning to stay on that team. Right? Is that possible?
Yeah, sure.
And then also, other players in the NBA are auditioning to get on the Lakers. Either this season or next season.
Yes.
So this whole incubation period of like whatever experiment we're watching is all fun to talk about. But guess what? The Lakers are way more exciting right now than they were. What were they the first three games last year? I don't even know. Yeah, it doesn't even matter.
No, it's definitely a whole different. I'm here.
Thank you, LeBron.
Thank you. Exactly.
Sure. I'm here.
Exactly.
Win or lose.
Exactly.
I'm here in Los Angeles.
Palm trees. Exactly. Sure. I got to watch Matt go to Staples Center later on. Watch LeBron play.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now that you you've done the podcast. Next time, we expect you to come in with no holding back. Sorry, brother, if you're the reason why he is not unleashing. Because he don't want to keep it around.
I'll get about Westbrook next time. Let get him loosened up.
Yeah, loosened up.
I feel like, I got to get out this attire, man.
Bring another fit next time you come.
No, for sure.
If you want to. If not, it's fine. We don't mind being underdressed. That's what we do. But we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Chris Haynes, for joining us. That was good stuff.
Yes.
Next time he comes on, we will get him to keep it all the way funky about some things.
He was protecting some. He's
Yeah, you know what? We should put a sign on the door, like "Real Ones Only" or something. You know what I mean? Just to set the tone.
Yes, I know, but he was being a real one.
We should be that, and then as soon as every guest comes in, let's play some Wu-Tang.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Let's just set the tone so that it's very relaxed for like a real one atmosphere.
Right.
You know
opposite of yoga.
Don't let all the lights fool you.
Like a yoga studio with talking.
I can't
participate in that. There's no talking. Talk afterwards. You've all day to talk. This is the 1 hour of my day where there's one person talking, and that is the yoga instructor.
No.
I support you. I support you.
Thank you, Heller.
Roll that mic.
I'm trying desperately to get my zen on for the benefit of all mankind. I am someone who needs to get my zen on frequently.
For me, for sure.
Yes. I listened to meditation on the way into work today.
What was the word for the day?
It was about relieving anxiety, but I had turned it off because it was getting way too mellow and I needed to be waking up.
Oh, okay. I thought you turned it off.
And then I put sicko mode on, so it was all good.
Woo! Still good. Still so good.
Yeah. All right. So what am I winning or quitting today?
We about to turn up in the NBA.
In the second game of the NBA season, LeBron and the Mean Dream Team put on a good show against the Houston Rockets. Then, with 4 minutes left in the fourth, Rajon Rondo allegedly spit on Chris Paul's face, which led Rondo to non-allegedly punching Chris Paul in the face. Brandon Ingram came in and threw some punches as well. Although the basketball game turned into an actual fight, joy, LeBron's Lakers lost the game but won the war. Wit it or quit it. You don't take the drink right when I ask to wit it.
I was very thirsty. I'm going to wit that.
Yes!
I am going to wit that.
Tell me why.
Okay, so Irwin and I went to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell I did not see this brawl coming. Kind of, but not to the level that it reached. Like, I was very happy that the brawl happened.
Tell me about the pageantry. Tell me about the pageantry before. Why didn't you not expect it?
I mean, we all know the Heat's intros are the best in the league. Like, let's just
the Heat throw a party every game.
Everything is a party. There's flames. Mm-hmm. I mean, Michael Biamonte, the voice of the Heat, is just incredible. There's not a mariachi band
at all.
But it's very hype, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's loud, and there's lights, and there's just nothing else like it. The Lakers is a little bit more traditional, the intros, but it was definitely a scene. I mean, Floyd Mayweather was there. He's done most games, though. Like, Jack Nicklaus, Adam Levine. Like, there's Kate Beckinsale was there.
Is she there
often?
She likes to be seen by the most people.
I mean, was that a whistle?
Smashing, though.
Kate Beckinsale.
She looks good.
Yeah.
She looks good.
That's what she does for a living,
She
right?
was wearing... Yeah, yeah, that is what she does for a living.
She's been fine.
She has been fine. I love her in Underworld.
Yes.
I love her in Underworld.
Underworld's a sleepy sleeper series.
What else has she been in? I honestly don't know. Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor.
I think you're right about that. I haven't watched that movie. Anyway, more importantly, the fight. So,
yes.
Here's the thing.
Talk to me.
There's a lot happening, and a lot has happened since the fight,
mm-hmm.
so there's a lot to break down here, but this is my overall opinion on the fight. Rondo, you can't put guys like Rondo and Lance Stevenson and JaVale McGee on your squad and expect for shit like this not to go down.
Yes.
I mean, that's what you signed up for. That was literally the entire point of having them on the team was you wanted some dog on your team.
Yep.
Well, you got it. Okay.
Got all the dogs.
All of it. Okay. So as Chris Haynes mentioned, the start of it was Brandon Ingram. But if you looked away for 1 second, you were going to miss that push, right?
Right.
On James Harden. And that really wasn't, while that was the genesis of the fight, and I think he is right, people are sick of the way that Harden's being officiated, that beef, Rondo and Chris Paul, was not about that. That was just an opportunity.
Oh my gosh. They were sitting there sparring verbally before the punches were thrown.
So they're fighting verbally, and then the spit happens, which, look, as I was discussed with the yoga situation, There's just certain things that you do, you're ready to fight.
Yeah.
Rondo wanted to fight.
Yeah, that's why he spit on him.
Because 99.9% of the time you spit on somebody, you got to throw hands. So Rondo wanted to fight. That's what yes, I assume. Yes. Okay? Which is fine.
And Chris Paul came back with a finger poke to the face.
Right. So the finger poke.
finger poke to the face.
So after lots of internet digging and different camera views, we have all as a society decided that Rondo spit or leaked on Chris Paul. Okay? There was some spittle.
Yes. Right?
And, you know, Chris Paul came back with the finger point, which has not been my reaction, but that's fine. And I think what happened was Chris Paul didn't expect for Rondo to punch him. I think he thought that the finger point was going to happen. There was going to be some pushing and shoving, some forehead fighting, as we discussed. And then the NBA refs are going to break it up. Everyone's going to pull him apart, and that was going to be that.
Not on LeBron's Lakers. No.
So Rondo hits him like this.
Yes, with the left.
And then with the left.
Yeah.
And then there's some return shoving, and then another punch from Chris Paul, and then it's broken up. So, I mean, I'm going to give round one to Rondo, just for the quickness.
Yes.
But.
And LeBron in the banana boat, buddy. But, they went over there and talked.
So this is where it gets fuzzy for me. You can't do that. That's the biggest, that's the biggest part of this whole brawl that mm-hmm. is not really being discussed. Obviously on Twitter and NBA Twitter was much discussed.
Of course.
But in the mainstream, I haven't heard much about it. You can't walk away with Chris Paul if you're LeBron. Now we know LeBron is not
with your arm around his shoulder.
No, we know that LeBron is not a confrontational guy, which is fine. Be who you are. But there's just certain things that you can't do when you're trying to establish a culture, mm-hmm. when you're bringing somebody in like Rondo,
right.
when you're trying to teach people, when you're saying to Kuzma, stay down, we're going to come over and pick you up, like we brothers got you. And then, you know, when shit really goes down, like really goes down, mm-hmm. not like a regular basketball forehead fight, a real actual, oh, you fight and fight and fight.
Right.
You have to, I'm fine with you pushing somebody away. I'm fine with him pushing Chris Paul away. Or dragging him away, but then you got to go back. Like, you can't walk him to half court. You just can't do it. It's not a good look.
Yeah, it felt, obviously it's not orchestrated. I don't think these things are planned. I'm not that much of a conspiracy theorist, but the way LeBron James handled it before the fight, during the fight, and afterwards with his comments, it just feels kind of like, so what from him? Which is kind of weird because this is an actual NBA fight. Last season we talked about the fact that NBA players ain't about the brawl right. life, but you messed with the wrong one. He's from Louisville, Kentucky. Rajon Rondo is here for the fights, and he is inciting chaos.
And that's fine because
this is what he's supposed to do.
Rondo does. This is not. This
that's
is
what
not
LeBron come, brought
not,
him here
and
for.
Not as advertised. Okay. So, but the problem is Rondo's on your team now, and they know friends on the court. Like, you cannot get involved. Harden was not involved.
Right.
Lonzo was not involved. Yes. Ingram chose to involve himself. Now he's suspended for 4 games, which I don't agree with him running in and throwing a punch, but you do what you feel like you got to do in that situation. Punches are being thrown. Yeah. So, and you started it. Yeah. So I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah, and Chris said he's out of character. He's like, we don't even know who Brandon Ingram is at this point.
But I will say, I do think that that's going to have a kind of ripple effect with someone like Rondo, that LeBron, like, whose side are you on, dog? It's fine that you can be friends with Chris Paul off the court. Nobody cares who you're friends with off the court. On the court, you got to ride for your team. Like, that's, I wouldn't be surprised if there's an in-locker room conversation, like, look. Because Rondo's not scared of LeBron.
Right, but LeBron also don't got no friends on that team.
Okay, well, that would have been a good way to make friends.
But he said he's not trying to. He's generally on the court.
I mean, that was on the court.
No friend zone.
No, it needs to be friend zone. If we go out in public and somebody starts fighting you, well, you got to fight. No, you're fighting now.
If I'm out on the street with LeBron, I know he's not about to smoke. So he's not going to be about to smoke regardless of where we're at.
I don't know. I feel like I don't have any problem with them pushing him away or pulling him away. Like, that happens all the time. But you can't walk him all the way to half court. It can't be this whole production thing. It got to the point where Chris Paul is pushing him off of him. Like, I got it.
No, because LeBron always trying to incite himself into stuff. Leave Drake and Pusha T alone. Leave Rondo and Chris Paul alone. You don't have to be in the middle of everything.
I just feel like it's not the best look. And I feel like there'll be a conversation about how that all went down internally. yeah, at some point.
Yeah.
Especially was, the LeBron's reaction to it. So interesting stuff, though. We love that. And they're 0-3. So.
Yeah. Yes. You said that. It. You were right. You said it. That. Struggling first half of the season. Okay. Right. Moving on. Eric Reid had some things to say to Malcolm Jenkins. Eric Reid has been on Kaepernick's side since 2016. When he started kneeling in protests of black people in America being murdered by police officers. So, as you so eloquently put it. During that time, Eagle safety Malcolm Jenkins also knelt in protest, and along with some others started the Players Coalition in efforts for players protesting, or to, in effort to end the players protesting. The league donated $90 million towards player clauses, and none of those went to Colin Kaepernick getting back into the league. Eric Reid had some things he wanted to say to Malcolm Jenkins about it before the game. Afterwards, he said, "I believe Malcolm capitalized on the situation. He co-opted the movement that was started by Colin to get his organization funded. It was cowardly. He sold us out. Joy, calling Malcolm Jenkins a sellout is going too far. With it or quit it."
Strong question. I'm going to go with yes, it's going too far. But... there, so I'm going to with that. But there's some caveats to this. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes in this story. Like, yes, everything that you just described is true, that Eric Reid is kind of like Kaepernick's partner in all of this, if you will. Like, he was with him from the very beginning. Kaepernick started it, so Kaepernick got all the attention. And if you remember, Eric Reid was not in the league up until recently as well. Yeah. So he paid the price for protesting and being outspoken about it also. And I think how he feels and how Colin Kaepernick feels is like Malcolm Jenkins kind of jumped on board with this while it was already rolling and kind of became the face of it because he was more accepted by NFL owners and by, you know, executives as being like, you're the acceptable face of this protest because this, that, and the other, and you don't have the stipulation that we must involve Kaepernick in this, which we're not going to budge on, which became pretty obvious. Now, look, as far as how everything shook out with the money and what the NFL compromised on, I don't really know how to feel about that because I don't think that you can necessarily put a dollar sign on a movement, but also the world gets moved by money. So it's kind of like the yin and yang of the evils of the world. Like, if in order for you to get stuff done, you have to pay things.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff costs money.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what the f*** is GoFundMe for? Okay, so stuff costs money. Where is your money coming from, right? Like, you can get a lot of money, but, you know, perhaps it's blood money. Or, you know, and then in which case, that money, it has some karma on it.
Or like shush money.
Or right, whatever. All money doesn't come from the same place, is what I'm saying. So I understand how Eric Reid feels. I don't know every single detail, and as there are always extra details and personal things that go on in these situations. Mm-hmm. But so based off of the information that we have, which is that Eric Reid and Colin Kaepernick, obviously, because he stood in support with Eric Reid after this altercation and everything that he said, they feel like Malcolm Jenkins sold them out. They feel like he jumped into the protest and the whole movement late and just became the acceptable face of the movement because he was willing to take the money and kind of calm the situation down.
Right.
So I'm okay with feeling that way. I don't necessarily 100% agree with it because I do feel like at one point or another, you have to come to an agreement in order to get things done.
Right.
My bigger takeaway, though, is this fighting, like, amongst each other in the middle of the field stuff, mm-hmm. like, Shannon was talking about it. Why couldn't you pick up the phone and just have that conversation? Or why not have that face-to-face? Like, you can find him. Yeah. He's not hard to find.
Yeah.
Most people these days are not hard to find.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that complicated. If you wanted to confront him, you can't just say, like, oh, well, you know, I wanted to see him, and this is the only place that I could see him. Like, no. You could easily find this guy.
No,
like you could have that face-to-face conversation, not in the middle of the field, not where everyone is going to take that. You have to be aware of how you're perceived. And I understand it. Like, I get it. And I watched the interview with Eric Reid afterwards, and he's talking about James Baldwin and, like, to be black and like, I'm paraphrasing, but, like,
black
partially
and woke
and conscious in America is to be angry all the
conscious
time. And like, I get that. I understand that. But you have to put things into perspective. You can't allow the other side to have one breadcrumb to grow with.
Yes, because I think you're talking about being aware of what you look like. You got to be aware of the cause that you're representing.
Right.
And now we're in a position where people who didn't even know that this caused, there was any separation.
Yeah, most people didn't even know that there was any arguments going on.
Yeah, you have to promote a united front regardless. That's why it should have been handled off screen. It should have been handled behind the scenes a long time ago before Eric Reid even got back into the NFL. And they can hash those things out. And that's what I don't necessarily like about Kaepernick coming out and tweeting like, I'm with Eric, because you're promoting a way of handling a situation that, in my opinion, it's going to do anything but add detriment to it.
It's counterproductive. Right. And listen, like, there's no reason Kaepernick shouldn't be in the NFL. I mean, you're trotting Derek Anderson out there. And this is not disrespect to Derek Anderson, but it's an embarrassment. Yeah. Like, it really is.
The Bills need a quarterback.
Nathan Peterman, like, it's an embarrassment. I know a lot of people feel like he's still capable, but Blake Bortles, like, I told you, he loves throwing to the other team. Like, maybe someone needs to sit down and explain to him, like, there's an offense and a defense. Everybody's not on your team.
The great Blake Bortles could use a backup.
There's another team. The team that's wearing the colors that's not your team colors, yes, don't throw to them.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. But the point is, and don't hit me with Kaepernick stats. Like, I don't want to hear it. Okay. There's no reason why he shouldn't have had an opportunity to play in the NFL, and he probably still could play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You have Derek Anderson out there. Like, Derek Anderson is playing football. Okay. Yes. So I'm a 100% supporter of Colin Kaepernick and everything he does. I've gone over that a million times. All I'm saying is, with this situation, I feel like, handle it internally. Like, you have, it's not even about a united front. It's about, like, the awareness of where we are as a society, and like, any crack in the message, mm-hmm, and anything is going to be attacked to the fullest. Yeah, like, you can't let anything in, no matter what. And it's that's so important. And the optics of it. And I know it's like, oh, like, it's corporate or whatever. Like, you're not going to take down the whole system. No. There's never going to be a point in the history of the earth where everything just stops. Everyone in the whole world just stops moving. And you go up to every person and explain to them that, like, Christopher Columbus really didn't discover America. And he's actually like a rapist and murderer. Shouldn't be celebrated. Okay, so just erase that. Okay, figure that out. Okay, yeah. Like white people did not establish North America. There were millions of people that lived here before that. Okay, we can do that. Like, slavery was evil and existed for 400 years. And there's still some things that last from that. Okay, like, there's a whole Jim Crow era. Like, oh, you're gonna break everything down for everybody. All right, and then all of a sudden, I'm just gonna be like, oh.
I agree. I can't believe I thought about that.
You guys are okay. Actually,
welcome this time.
You know, my grandparents, maybe they were just a little off with that, how they felt about that. It's not going to happen. So you can't break down all of society. You want to do it one person at a time. And if you think that way, it's just kind of like how Jesus said, you know, just one soul at a time. One soul at a time. That's all you need. I know it seems small, but butterfly effect, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't just spread. Spread the word.
Spread the red words.
The woke word.
Yeah, the
words Jesus of wokeness. Word.
And people want us to stay out of politics. We'll tell them to keep it off the field. How about that? How about that, guys?
Stay out of politics.
How about that?
I think we're past that. People are still saying that.
People still tell you that.
Man, that's lame.
I know.
Oh, it's so weak.
It's lazy now.
It's so lazy.
Right?
I don't agree.
Just say that.
It's so lazy.
Okay, back to football. Okay. All right, sticking with football, but not on the woke side of things. When the season starts, every NFL fan base hopes that their team can win a Super Bowl. But every year around week 7, we see which teams really wish they had fraud protection.
You sound like Dabo.
Fraud protection.
Fraud.
Gruden's Raiders, Joy's Dolphins, Garoppolo's 49ers due to injury, but there's one team with a lot of talent that seems like the biggest disappointment to me, Joy. The Giants are the NFL's biggest frauds. Wit it or quit it.
I'm going to wit that. So
yes!
I'm winning everything today. Yes. The New York Giants are the biggest frauds. They paid Odell a ton of money.
A lot.
He
gets paid next year, though, right?
They opted out of drafting a quarterback and went with Saquon.
I mean,
they convinced us that Eli had a few more years.
Or Saquon, just like, you, best player on the board.
You know, you should take the best player on the board overall, unless you really need a specific position.
Agreed.
That is more important than the best player on the board.
Agreed.
If you have, I don't know, 3 competent right tackles, and a right tackle is the best player on the board, but you have an incompetent quarterback, maybe you just take the quarterback, you know?
Less capable, incapable quarterback,
Saquon
maybe?
Saquon's a good player, and I know Saquon keeps catching heat for being the pick, but that's just because the quarterback is super, super f***ing important. and Eli looks broken. And I don't like that because I don't like picking on Eli because I feel like Eli gets picked on, has been picked on a lot, mm-hmm. despite the fact that he brought his team two championships. And I don't want to hear about the defense. And like you can't give quarterbacks all the critiques and then all the praise. Like it's one or the other. Like either the quarterback was partially responsible for that or he wasn't. Like mm-hmm. Trent Dilfer, all time great defense, but he still managed to get them to score some points. Yeah. So it's fine. Like
manage.
I'm not saying
you got to manage the game.
Fine, but like, everybody can do that.
But I'm saying,
we discussed
you
Derek
to.
Anderson earlier.
To.
Okay, yeah. That's the thing. But I think the biggest fraud, and by fraud I mean somebody who we had some level of expectations for coming into the year, mm-hmm. who have been very, very, very stinky, is the Giants. Now, you can say the Colts, but like we didn't really know what Andrew Luck was going to be coming into the season, so I'm not going to flip out about the Colts. The 49ers, obviously, we had huge expectations for, but they're not the team that we expected coming in because Jimmy Garoppolo is hurt.
Yeah.
The Cardinals, I mean, look, like I expected them to be a little bit better than this, but their offensive line is straight trash. And that's obvious. And yeah. Josh Rosen has no chance because he's running for his life. So that doesn't work. The Raiders only had expectations because, let's keep it real, John Gruden's making $100 million. If he wasn't making $100
million,
Why does he do that?
I don't know.
It's a strange behavior.
You got to push through.
Anyway, you know what? I'm zen. What did we say earlier? I'm a plant.
No, we didn't say that earlier.
Growing my branches.
When did you tell us that? Was that in the car?
I'm what? Tree. Yeah,
they
tree
said
goes.
That. They said that in the car.
In yoga.
About being a tree.
What are you talking about? And then the Bills.
What are you talking
the
about?
Bills, obviously, like I didn't have any expectations for the Bills, and the Dolphins are nonsense.
Bills went to the playoffs last year. Face
okay.
Ad.
Yeah, and then they got rid of Tyrod Taylor.
Right,
Smooth move, bro.
Yeah.
Smart.
I know.
Smart. Although I like whatever his name is.
Who?
Josh. The other Josh.
Tall Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Josh
Allen. Other
yeah.
Josh.
He's funky. Huh?
He doesn't know how to use a revolving door. That would have dropped his draft stock for me. I got to keep it real.
These guys.
Can he have a
tweet
or two?
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course. Who else got stuck in that revolving door with him? There was two
Sam
people.
Darnold.
Sam Darnold? No, it was it Baker. Baker would never. Baker has too much swag to get stuck in a revolving door. I actually don't believe in revolving doors. I don't.
Like,
if I
don't
ever have an
sharks?
Opportunity to not walk through the revolving door, I'm not going through the
what
revolving
mean,
why,
door. Why? What do they do?
What if
to
I
you?
Get stuck? I don't have time to be stuck in a revolving door.
You don't want
to
be stuck and seen?
Huh?
The only problem with being, you can be stuck anywhere.
I'm claustrophobic.
The problem with the revolving door is being stuck and seen.
And seen? I don't want to be stuck in the
revolving door. Like stuck in
like
a cage.
I don't
just
like those
like...
things. You know those what are those things at the stadium? Those stupid revolving things.
Twisty
you
turning
thing?
All
yeah.
of those. What are those things?
Oh,
turnstiles?
Awful.
Like
yeah.
the full body turnstiles?
Yeah, full body turnstiles.
What? It's like something from Saw.
It is. It's yeah. terrifying. Yeah, I want no yeah. parts of
Final things. Destination.
Loki, it's like it's old technology that we've
It is old technology.
Automatic
there's
doors
so
now.
Many
like,
old technology.
Yeah, there's
what
nonsense.
We
speaking
need,
of old
we need
technology.
Nostalgia
the,
doors.
The
like,
automatic, the automatic revolving doors are even more terrifying.
Yeah,
because
no. right,
at
that
least
slide
the human
open
operated
seems
ones
safe.
Are like there's very little limited chance. Of
satellite dishes. Why? We need those big ass dishes to get a signal still.
Yeah,
hanging out of people's apartments. Come on.
We have not figured out how to.
Come
how to
on.
Get, you know.
You can put a Harry Potter wine out there. I think you get the same recession right now. That's 2018.
I know.
Them big
Listen,
ass
if
dishes.
You're, if you're an inventor and you figured out a better way to get me television, please hit me up. I'm willing to angel invest. I'm so over
Cut
the cord. The bad. Yeah, but then you got to do Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is and they
listen
net neutrality.
I'm not gonna say who. Yeah, thank you. Who provides me with Wi-Fi? But
they should do better.
As Ashley knows,
terrible.
I have terrible Wi-Fi,
so
and I
bad.
Don't. I don't understand why. I've tried to get rid of it. It is impossible. I don't know what the problem is. Every day at 7 p.m., my Wi-Fi decides to stop working for 25 minutes. It's the strangest thing.
My
and then
dad
it's just
unplugs
slow for the rest
Wi-Fi
of the
night. At
night
to save money.
Your dad does unplug the Wi-Fi. Does he know it's a monthly charge, regardless?
You know what? I think it's like an energy thing.
He's trying to save like electricity.
I don't know, but the
how
flip,
much electricity do you, the, does he think comes out
the
of the Wi-Fi machine?
The box definitely gets clucked off at night.
That's so insane.
Bed night time for Wi-Fi.
For the
no,
Wi-Fi.
No more internet.
Does he know he's still being charged actively while the Wi-Fi is unplugged?
I don't think he's trying to save money. I think the energy from the modem, he hears it running. He's like, yep, cut that off.
Anyway, we didn't even talk about the Giants, but they need
Giants bad.
They need a new quarterback.
Boring football.
And also, Odell. doesn't have to pee in his pants. Okay, let's just say it. He doesn't have to pee in his pants. Did they have white pants on last night?
It don't matter what color you pee when
they pee. I'm pretty sure they had white pants on.
If he has a pee stain, there's some other problems. He can check what he's putting in his body. Because he should drink enough water.
He doesn't like water. It's swishy in the stomach.
What is that thing about the water? What's your take on water?
I mean, I think water is very important. Which is why I don't believe in plastic straws.
Straws on the hot seat. 2018.
Straws are on the hot seat. Get rid of
satellite dishes and...
Plastic is on the hot seat in 2018, yes. Actually.
Plastic, yeah. We don't like plastic
anymore. Bigotry, too. Well,
no, we don't. Bigotry's been on the hot seat for a long time.
I feel it now more than ever.
You feel it?
I think racism is on the hot seat. I think bigotry's fine.
Yeah, so anyway, I don't know how we got into that. Anyway, like the Giants are not good. They fake us out.
We got a stat-based pack podcast today. Yes.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Raiders are petty. So, lots of stuff going on with the Raiders. Obviously, Amari Cooper was just traded to the Cowboys for a first-round pick because they love first-round picks. Apparently, John Gruden thinks that he's going to be the draft master.
Right.
We'll find out. But according to Marcus Thompson of The Athletic, Derek Carr now has a bad relationship with his teammates, fractured relationship, because a video appeared on the internet that showed what looked like him crying after injuring his arm. Now, here's the thing, okay? I think we're at the point, it's 2018, like, men are allowed to cry.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right,
yeah.
So, and, like, the thing is, it's okay. Like, if you got injured and you cry, I'm all right with it. Like, it's not the best look, but Derek Carr is not somebody that I've ever considered to be a soft quarterback. Derek Carr has gotten f***ed up. And, like, yes. He's actually, I don't call a lot of quarterbacks tough. Like, I would say Andrew Luck is tough. I would say that Derek Carr is tough. I would say Ben Roethlisberger is tough.
Yeah.
Like, there's quarterbacks out there who, even though they're still quarterbacks, right. I would consider to be on the tough side.
Right, there's
that.
A difference between tough and careless. I feel like Deshaun Watson is leaning more towards careless than tough, but he gets up.
Like, RG3's been injured a lot, right. But he's also decided he wasn't going to slide.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. So, I don't understand why everyone's slipping out. He's come in defense of himself saying that he wasn't actually crying. Was he crying? Was he not crying? It's crygate.
No, he wasn't. I'm okay with men crying. Crying via injury on field is not available, I don't think.
What do you mean?
I don't think you're allowed to.
How do you even control yourself?
You can control if you cry or not.
Okay, first of all, if you get a season-ending injury and you cry, I have absolutely no problem with that. There are a lot of emotions that go into that. You know your season is over. Mm-hmm. Possibly, in some cases, your career could be over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm totally fine with that. Now, that wasn't that serious in this situation. Right. But so what? Like, they're 1-5. Maybe he's just upset.
But the cry face while asking to be helped up.
He does have a very strong cry face.
Yes, the cry face. Now, and I've been at Ball State. We beat Toledo on election night, and they were ranked. And afterwards, there's a bunch of cameras on me, and everyone said I was crying. I was not. I was excited, and I was very happy. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. We did it. But I wasn't crying. I was making a cry. I was making an emotional I care face. There's a difference between an I care face.
We might need to do some investigation on that. You may have outed yourself.
No, there's a difference between emotion face and cry face. Derek Carr definitely had cry face and was asked to be helped up like a baby. That's the problem. He looked like an infant.
I'm just saying, if you're a guy and you want to cry, it's okay.
Don't
be petty about the tears. I've ruled it. So it shall be.
Do I have something to say once you've ruled it? No. That just lay
That's
out.
Yeah. Lily! Is this?
At the Night Show. Ooh.
So, Cowboys are on the come up again.
Right.
Yeah, remember the last 2 years when Cowboys were like a really big deal? We were talking about them every day. And then this year they've been so boring and annoying.
No.
And it's been like, oh my God, they're going to fire Jason Garrett. That's like the biggest story.
Pretty sure they've been mentioned every week. And also been saying that they are good. They're
are
not
they
bad.
Good or is the NFC's just doo doo?
No, they're good.
Okay. Well, they did just get better, according to me at least. So yes, they traded for Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
They traded a first round pick to the Raiders. They lost to the Redskins, boohoo.
Raiders got a lot of those.
To the R words on Sunday, 2017.
Because of a fraudulent call.
Yeah, or they missed the field goal and Jason Garrett wasn't even trying to win, but it's fine. Anyway, Cooper was the fourth overall pick in the 2015 draft.
Yes.
And here's the thing. At the beginning of the season, we were like, oh my God, who's Dak Prescott going to throw to? Cole Beasley. That's cool. Who else they got? They've got like some other guys that play receiver.
They signed
Gallup, Alan Hearns.
Yeah. Okay, so the point is Alan Hearns. Yeah. So, yeah. So now they have Amari Cooper, and everyone's Kayvon freaking Austin. Out about, okay, thank you, about the first round draft pick. And here's the thing about draft picks. I don't care about your stupid draft picks. I don't care. That. I've never understood that. What is the stockpiling? Give me all the draft picks. Nah. I don't get it.
When you get them, though.
Yeah, when you hit. Do you know how many draft picks are busts? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's a lot. And you know what Amari Cooper is.
Not a lot of first rounders.
Okay, look.
There's some busts.
There's not a lot of first round draft busts.
There's not. I'm not talking like Mario. Are you considering Jadeveon Clowney a bust?
No.
Okay.
He's
going to
pick one random player. I'm saying
he's the guy who didn't like pop off the screen that next year.
All I'm saying is over time. This draft pick thing, like obviously you would like to not give a first round draft pick up, but you need a wide receiver. And you are likely going to have to draft a wide receiver in the draft next year anyway.
Exactly.
And you know what Amari Cooper is, and he's not old or washed up or whatever. So, and you need to see if Dak Prescott can actually play. And this whole idea that you don't need a number one wide receiver is, Who?
Of course you do.
Who said that? Whose idea was that?
Of course.
Whose idea was that over there? Was that Jason Garrett's idea?
I mean, I've never admitted that Jason Garrett's ever had a good idea. So.
Ashley is our resident Cowboys expert.
Jason Garrett, Cowboys.
An apologist. All right, moving on. Patrick Mahomes is lit again this week. Yes. He leads the league in touchdown passes with 22. Put a strong whooping on those Bengals.
Dang.
You know, I expected them to win, not like that. That was an embarrassment. Whew.
Are the Bengals kind of like the Falcons in this, like, good but not bad, but also bad?
Like, sometimes they're good, but they're not that good. But are they good?
Like,
they're
Matt
bad,
Ryan
though.
And Andy Dalton.
But
like,
you look at their record, and you're like, maybe they're good.
Right.
Can they ever win? I don't know. I don't think so. But anyway, he beat Kurt Warner's record, and he's thrown 8 touchdowns in the last 2 games, so he's still lit. He just can't stop, and I love it.
He's exactly what we deserve. He's perfect for the NFL
We do deserve Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes!
We deserve Patrick Mahomes. You're right about that, Brandon. How was your Louisville weekend? Because that's the last on the lit list this week.
No. Louisville weekend, whatever. Louisville as a whole is lit. Rondo got into a scuffle. LeBron James brought him over. You know what I'm saying?
We talked about that.
You know, and you know, I just want to say, we put it out in the ether. My brother met Rondo in Louisville while he was working one day and told him about Maybe I'm Crazy. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe getting a fight on your first home game.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So it was a little bit of prophesizing. Anyways, and then Purdue beating Ohio State, coached by Jeff Brohm, a Louisville great. I'm just saying, Louisville out here in the sports world, name the most famous person from Louisville.
Muhammad Ali.
Yes, the Newman brothers and Muhammad Ali, and there might be some connection. We will talk about it in another episode. I just want to say, you know, Louisville's lit.
You swear.
I just want to say Louisville's
lit.
You're
Ali's son. You swear.
No, I don't. I will not do that to my dad.
You swear.
On air.
On air. All right, loser power rankings. Loser power rankings. Loser power rankings. These are the losers and losers of the week. Hugh Jackson. So, have we put the Browns and the losers yet so far?
I think Hugh Jackson's definitely losers. Because what he's been doing, right?
It's a good thing you wore a raincoat today.
Well,
Brandon is sweating because we just took a dance break.
For
Lumidee. Never Leave You.
Never Leave You.
Which is the jam.
Yes.
And so he decided to stop recording and just start dancing. And Brandon gets hot. So that's why he decided to pour water all over himself.
So the thing is, the Browns, they need to do something on offense to score more points to win games.
Correct. But that's not why they're losers, surprisingly enough. It's because Hugh Jackson lost his mind and decided that after that loss, that he was going to say that he needs to take over play calling duties from Todd Haley, who's his offensive coordinator. Yeah, he did. He did say it.
You think he said it?
I'm pretty sure he said it because I heard it.
I actually
played it. I did it in Herdline News.
I know, but I was confused.
I think we did it twice.
No, I know, but I was confused when I heard it. I was like, what is he really saying?
He's saying that they're stinky, which
there's
we know.
Flexibility,
which
though.
We expect. There's not that much flexibility in what he said. He said that that's what he does, and then he repeatedly wanted to tell everyone that he's the head coach, which no one's forgotten you. No one has forgotten that.
Yeah, that's very insecure.
It's so insecure to Thank say, you. Like, I'm the head coach, or like, I'm the host, or like, I'm the brother. It's like you and a sister. Like, I'm the brother. Like, yes.
I'm the bride getting married today.
Yes. And exactly. Exactly.
But sometimes, just, but it's true sometimes, though. Sometimes you have to use the leverage you have.
No, sometimes you have to remind people. Right. That, but in general, you don't need to say it three times. Right. One time is more than effective.
Right.
And especially in this situation, because no one cares. Like, you, when you were the offensive coordinator for the last 2 years, y'all won one game in 2 years. Right. So maybe offensive coordinator is not the thing you should be doing.
Right.
In general.
And okay? Also, he's like, he's bragging about, like, what you're saying over and over again is the problem.
Right. And more importantly, like, this is just not what winning organizations do. No. You don't go out and look, like, I actually, I don't think I care anymore. I think I am get off my lawn guy, and I think I'm okay with that. I'm willing to own that.
Yeah.
I'm aware of my get off my lawnness.
Yes.
And this is a get off my lawn Like, don't go out there and say that your offensive coordinator basically sucks at his job. You can't do that. Like, you saying that you need to take over play calling duties publicly is completely undermining your offensive coordinator. Yeah. You need to help. You need to step in. It sounds like you're taking over what he does. A good leader hires good people to do what they're good at and then lets them do that. I'm not saying you need to let him go rogue. You can't toss some suggestions this way. Like, hey, I got this really fancy play. It worked once against the Ravens in 2004. Throw it his way. Maybe it'll work again. Who knows? Right. But taking over play calling duties and flipping out on the podium is not helping anything. And then he came yesterday or today, I don't remember what it was, and said that he didn't say that. So we just wrote stuff. Yeah, we got typewriters or whatever now. Anyway, so the Jaguars, what happened with the Jags? Are they losers this year? They're not doing a lot of winning? Is that what happened?
There's some things that need to get cleaned up.
I'm pretty sure Bortles got benched this week.
Yes, it was to make a statement by the head coach, and it was the wrong statement to be made.
It was a big mistake.
It was incorrect.
I'm going to just go ahead and say it's a big mistake. Although nothing about it surprises me because it's Jacksonville, and I don't know why anyone thought that this was a sustainable thing.
I thought it wouldn't surprise you because it's Blake Bortles and you're a Blake Bortles hater.
I'm not a Blake Bortles hater. I am a realist. I keep it 100.
And he's an everyman quarterback, and he does get the job done.
He is an everyman quarterback. Everyone can't win the Super Bowl. You're right about that. Boom. Finally, the Eagles. The Eagles, man. You know, the thing about the Eagles is I really want the Eagles to be good.
No, you don't.
I do, actually. I think that the Eagles are a fun team, and it was really fun to see them in the Super Bowl, and they're coming out to Meek Mill, and it was, like, all for the culture, although I think that Eric Reed and
Kaepernick disagree with that a little bit. Who's for the culture.
But the Eagles are losers this week. They got to get together. And I don't know what's going on with the NFC East. I just can't have the R words be atop the NFC East. I'm not here for that.
I know.
I just don't like that. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I can't get excited about
and
it.
I want to say this. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this at all, but to say what winning programs should do by just copying what Bill Belichick and the Patriots does, I'm over that. I'm completely over that.
Oh, you are?
Yes, because that's just how that program does it. Mm-hmm. They've seemed to win because enough people have been complacent and deal with being in a very hostile work environment and very militant work environment. A lot of it works for some people. It doesn't work for everybody. I'm on Lane Johnson's side of this whole thing.
What's an NFL dynasty that you're a fan of?
The Ravens.
Dynasty.
Steelers.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what the Steelers are known for?
Defense.
Consistency.
Yeah, but they're not known for being drill sergeants.
Are they?
No, they're not.
And I wouldn't necessarily call them. I would say the Steelers isn't a franchise in a whole are a dynasty. It's not like they've won over the last 20 years. I'm pretty sure actually the Patriots have kind of owned the Steelers over the past 20 years.
I'm saying we need to not stop letting the Patriots run the NFL.
No, we can stop letting the Patriots run the NFL when someone beats the Patriots consistently, and that doesn't seem to be happening. So, quite frankly. Like, win one Super Bowl, great, congrats. I would love for the Dolphins to win one Super Bowl. But if you give me the option of winning five Super Bowls, I'll take five. Thank you. And just everybody doesn't like the same thing. I get what Lane Johnson is saying, like what you're referring to, saying he'd rather win one Super Bowl and have fun than five and be miserable. Maybe I can agree with that because you won one Super Bowl. But if you haven't won a Super Bowl, that's not as easy to say. And quite frankly, that's aiming low. And maybe for some people, that's cool. All right,
I'm
you know what? Maybe it's because I admired Michael Jordan growing up, so I believe in greatness. And other people, you know, they were fans of Charles Barkley or something. I don't know.
You're a fan of a lot of variables lining up to the perfect point.
No, 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 no.
to I'm have a result.
That, I'm saying that that consistency is what provides championships.
Okay.
And organizations all being on the same page, and football being the ultimate team sport, everybody believing in something, the one thing. Like, in order to be successful as an individual, you have to have one focus, right? Like, if you meet someone who's like, oh yeah, so I'm an actress, I also do a DJing on the side on Saturdays, I love pottery, I've been teaching three yoga classes, and I'm also a dancer, I love professional dancing.
And professional IG.
I'm an influencer, yes, okay, yes, you yes, have yes, to yes, try yes. this new ice cream place in Abbot Kinney. Yes. It is ta-da. Okay.
Shout out to Salt and Straw.
I love Salt
Delicious.
And Straw.
Delicious. So good. They're delivering for free all weekend.
Yeah, Salt and Straw is good for delivery. Anyway, the point is they are probably moderately good at all of those things that they do.
Yeah.
Okay, including like creating succulent arrangements. All right. But yes. in order to be great, yes. you have to have one singular focus. And in order for an organization to be great long term, you have to have one singular focus. And sometimes individuality does not fit into that situation. It's not the NBA where one player can change the course of your franchise's history. It's not that simple. Like, you can put a superstar, hello, LeBron James, on your team yeah. with other good players who, and you be in the lottery for 4 years in a row and then start going to the finals. Like, that can happen. With the NFL, you get a quarterback, you still need other players around you, and everybody has to have the same singular focus. So I get it. Like, Patriots are boring. Believe me, I've suffered at the hands of the Patriots for many years, 20 to be exact. But the reality is, if you want to do sustained winning, then everybody's got to be on the same page. And everybody doesn't get to party all the time. Winning isn't always fun. It's just the way it is. Sorry. All right, what's in the culture report this week?
Last week, we went on and on about Drake and Kanye West and their ongoing beef last summer when Drake went on LeBron's HBO show The Shop and detailed how he believes that he was betrayed by Kanye West because Kanye was the one who informed Pusha T about Drake hiding his secret son from the world.
Spilling all the tea.
Exactly. Well, last week on Joe Budden's podcast, Pusha T revealed that Kanye did not give him the information on his secret son, but it was his beloved producer and best friend 40 who leaked the information to a woman who was close to Pusha T in the Good Music camp. If you remember last week, 40 was the one Drake got all emotional about when recapping the Pusha T diss track, The Story of Adidon. Pusha T also revealed that Drake offered $100,000 to people in Virginia for dirt on Push. Two things are true from this whole thing. One, we as men are huge gossips. And two, this whole thing feels like an ongoing advertisement for Kanye West, and I'm kind of over the whole thing.
I'm over it.
Right?
I'm certainly over it.
It's like all these details coming out. It's
there's
like,
so
what?
Many
why?
Details. There's so many details. And, you know, I'm just not a detail person. I'm more of a big picture person.
Because you're just like, don't. The more you know,
like,
the more you don't believe.
I just need to know whose side I'm supposed to be on here.
Right.
Like, yes. Let me know which side I'm supposed to be on yes. as a whole.
Right.
That's kind of the world we live in. It's yes. like this side or that side. And there's not really an in-between.
Listen, Kanye West is trumping the situation. Like, making sure all parties just talk, are all just thinking about Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing, I just.
There's a lot going on there.
It's just, we're feeding
a
into
lot of things.
It.
But your first point is very true. Men are by miles far more gossipy than women.
We
it's actually a fucking joke
what?
That men accuse women of being bigger gossips than men.
So the thing is, the men, they run the whole world thing, unfortunately. So they just like put titles on it, like analysis or, you know,
I would, yeah,
insider.
I would venture to say that you know the entire mean? Business that we work in is
right.
based off of the need for men to gossip.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for that.
I do well on the show because I am a big fan of gossip.
It's truly remarkable that most men are not capable of admitting that men are bigger
gossips. Right? It's like a dirty word or something. You get gossip.
I mean, because it's not the most manly thing.
I don't care. Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought we were redefining all that stuff.
Oh, we are now?
Yeah, I thought we were.
Oh, we're not doing gender roles for conveniently for 2 seconds. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I just need to know what time I'm supposed to be on.
Yeah. And Cardi B dropped Money.
Yes!
I like the artwork more than the song right now.
The artwork is fabulous.
Oh my gosh. Rolly, rolly, rolly. Just like,
all
just
those
looks rollies. Just looks,
it's very shiny.
Yes. And
I'm
and
so
also
shiny.
Very naked. She is.
That is one of my, she is naked. Yeah. That's one of my favorite Disney songs.
Shiny?
Moana.
Who?
Moana. You never seen Moana?
I have a little bit of it. The first 30 minutes. Great.
You didn't watch the whole thing?
No, yeah, I didn't want to get sucked in.
I'm so shiny. It's such an easy watch.
It says the sign is
it's such an afternoon easy watch.
It's an
film.
Afternoon watch?
Yes. Did you watch Frozen?
Unfortunately, it was that gender roles in Frozen were terrible.
What the f*** do
just
you mean
believe,
unfortunately?
Just believe anything the guy says.
Not
even though he knows
not a lot of culture in Frozen. Not a lot of culture.
You. Yes.
Although, gotta say, I don't really like the snow. So, you know.
Oh, I love snow. Do you want to build a snowman?
You would. Yes, you would every like time. Snow. You would like snow.
I would
like
love
snow.
To build a snowman. Ugh, every time they ask, yes.
Snow.
Let's
it's
have
so
a bunch
cold.
Laying around. Yes. I got all this fat to prepare myself to just be in cold all the time. 67 degrees in my house.
I mean, when I was a baby, I used to enjoy snow because you could throw the things at other people.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, no.
Snow day.
Great
movie.
As you... Well, I was homeschooled.
You had snow day all the time then.
Yes, literally every day was snow day. All right, fun stuff today. Thanks so much to Chris Haynes for joining us.
Yes.
Talking a little NBA. Mm-hmm. Quick shout out to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast Fantasy League. Got the W this week. Really like feeling good about that.
I lost.
You lost?
Yeah. Against someone who doesn't win games. So
what was the culprit of that?
What's the corporate of
I'm
that?
I'm just kidding, I lost. Dang it.
When did you think you won?
Because I you know what? I thought I had enough points
life,
and I didn't.
You know, you don't check like confident.
Damn it, Odell.
Oh, that's why. Finally had a good game.
All right, well, I'm still 4-3. I'm still beating you, so that's all that matters.
Well,
in fourth place, still shout out to Drunken Monkeys, killing it. Still the top, Unstoppable Force, Once in a Lifetime, and then myself. Sorry about your L this week. Make sure you follow us on the YouTube channel, Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast, and all of our social media pages at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not.